It's such a privilege to be in your home, in your coffee shop, in your lounge room today. Thank you for taking the time. You know, over the years, Bayside has been an incredible supporter of Alpha, and as you just heard, some great, amazing stories. They've done Alpha online, done Alpha in person in different languages, had the marriage course, all sorts of things that have been incredible. In fact, we've had 584,000 people in Australia take the Alpha journey. Is that incredible? So we've done our research that Alpha serves Aussies. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of that. Last year, we started this thing called Alpha Online. Remember the unexpectedness of last year? You know, February last year, we had our lives planned, and then we realized we weren't in control. So there was all these Alpha gatherings happening, and then basically within a week, we just switched them all to online. And now how great is it to be able to gather online and then sometimes in person as well, to be able to connect with each other? You know, we found that when you're online, you're actually more open because you feel safe in your home and you feel safe to pray and you feel safe and open to things. And so you're my favorite people. We had, you know, nearly 50,000 people do Alpha Online last year. And, you know, people in their own homes be able to connect. So we are so thrilled. I'm thrilled that I get to talk to you today. I'm thrilled that I get to connect with you. We, a few years ago, did an Alpha Online. And, you know, in my wisdom, and I said, no, it won't work online. People want to connect personally. What we found out last year was that online can actually be way more personal. You can go in the chat room and you can get people to pray for you. Today, if you've got needs, there will be someone that will contact you if you put it in the chat. You can online go, I can pray right here where I am right now. And I know that God is with me. And we have seen people have incredible miracles, incredible opportunities to connect with God online. So why don't we pray right now where we are? Before there was liturgy, before there were all the prayers of all the different churches, there was one prayer, the first prayer of the church, three words, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit. And that's all they prayed. So I want to invite you where you are to pray that prayer right now. We're going to pray it together. We're going to see God do some amazing things. You can close your eyes if you want to, because I know I'm incredibly distracting. And you can raise your hands, just say open, and let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, wherever we are, not just physically, but wherever we are, spiritually and mentally and socially and physically, would you come? Would you bring your peace today? Would you bring your revelation today? Would you help us to connect with Jesus in a greater way than ever before? And would, Holy Spirit, would you take something that I say and would you make it really helpful to every person watching and listening today? We just pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Whenever you're in a situation, I just lost my phone. Can you imagine being separated from your phone? If you've got your phone today, put it near you because we're going to use it later. Imagine wherever you are, you can connect with God just straight like that. Wherever we can, wherever we want to, just pray, come Holy Spirit, and He immediately does. And whenever the Holy Spirit comes, He reveals Jesus to us. You know, we gather as a community because we're Jesus followers. We're people who are either a long way away following Jesus at a distance, or we're seeking to follow Him closely and to emulate and to live His life. I've called my talk today, Where is My Ethiopian? Which kind of like, okay, what does that mean? Well, you'll just have to wait and see. Basically, it starts with this. You and I are called to follow Jesus. But along the way, we've had some changes in our lives where there's things that we've left behind and things that we've embraced. And as we go into this new season, there's a book that's resonating in my head by a guy called Giles Sheldon, What Would Jesus Do? If Jesus was in COVID, what would He do? If He was, you know, facing the situations we are, what would He do? How would He live my life? Acts chapter 10, verse 38, gives us a bit of a glimpse of how the principles by which Jesus lived. It says, and no doubt you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the enemy, for God was with Him. The omnipotent creator and sustainer of the world, God the Father, who doesn't just have love but is love, that God anointed. You know, as we follow Jesus, as we seek to live out life His way, God anoints us. He gives us His power, His grace. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth is not His title as the Son of God. It's His earthly name. It's kind of like saying Melinda from Kalanga, which is where I'm from. It was a bit of a derogatory term. How can anything good come from Kalanga or Nazareth? You see, He was fully human, just like us. He was tempted like us. He had all of the same feelings and fears and anxieties that were tempting Him as we do. And yet He was able to live a life of victory. Why? Because God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. You see, the Holy Spirit is the comforter, the counselor, the guide into all truth. And everything that Jesus did was because of the power of the Holy Spirit with Him and then outworked through Him. You know, these guys, His disciples, had been hanging out with Jesus for 3 years. They'd asked Him all kinds of questions. They'd seen amazing miracles. And He gave them this life-shaping mission. Go and make disciples. The same mission He's given us. Every one of us have the same mission. Go and make disciples. But in this case, He said to the disciples, you're not quite ready yet. I want you to wait and I want you to pray that prayer, come Holy Spirit. And so they waited and they prayed. And the Holy Spirit came with power to change Peter from someone who wasn't that sure about his faith, who was kind of denying Jesus, to someone who grabbed the opportunity to talk to many. It changed Peter and John from people who had walked past a lame man every day. And yet after this encounter with the Holy Spirit, they noticed Him. And they said, we don't have much, but what we have, we give. We want to give you the opportunity to receive the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings power and anointing and grace. And so it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. But there's no full stop there. We don't just receive the Holy Spirit and the love and grace of Jesus Christ to sit in our homes and look after ourselves. We receive the love and grace of Jesus Christ. It says Jesus went around. Now, He didn't have the opportunity of Zoom. He didn't have the opportunity of social media. For many of us, we may not physically be able to go around, but we're all connecting with people in different ways. We're choosing to go into this world. We're choosing to go into their worlds. And maybe some of us have forgotten how to do that. I remember getting on a plane recently, which, you know, I used to do every week. Now it's been over a year. And I'm like, okay, how do I do this? How do I pack? What do I wear? You know, I had to go wallet, phone, keys. I had to bring back some of the things that I need to do. And today we're bringing back some of those ways of going around, some of those ways of making disciples, some of those ways of reaching out. Jesus went around doing good and bringing healing for all who are oppressed because God was with Him. What is Jesus calling you and I to do? We need to go around. We need to be people who go around bringing healing to those who are feeling oppression, to those who are feeling anxiety, to those who are in challenging situations. It's our responsibility to initiate. Now, sometimes that initiation is just sitting beside them and asking for a drink of water. Sometimes that initiation is, hey, come on down. I know you're a tax collector and everybody hates you, but I'd love to come to your house for dinner. Sometimes that connection is saying, what is it that you really want? Sometimes those connections is saying hello to a person that's a woman or someone that we don't normally talk to. It's taking the initiative to do good, to bring healing into situations. His disciples were a little bit confused about that because He said there's only two commands, love God and love people. And then He said the way you love people is love your neighbor as you love yourself. So they said, okay, who's my neighbor? Do I have to go 2 doors up, 4 doors up, 10 doors up? Who's my neighbor? Maybe Jesus was looking to a global village and realizing that a neighbor was not a location or proximity. It was people that were across your path. He told the story about the Good Samaritan. And, you know, the story basically is someone had an unexpected life event that crippled him, that brought him to his knees. And there were various people that went past and they all had a commentary, but only one of them had an action. And this Samaritan, the very person that had such different views and such different backgrounds and such different ways of living, and there was a chasm between them, it was that person that crossed the divide and reached out in love and showed compassion. So as we're thinking about this season, we're thinking about, okay, we want to be like Jesus, but we also want to be, who is my neighbor? Who is the person that is in my path that has need? They might be people that come across your Facebook feed, come across your Instagram feed. Do you use those things for prayer? I do. When I see someone crying out for help, expressed in lots of different ways, when I see people expressing their pain, my first response on social media is not to try and come back at them. I'm trying to train my first response to be pray. How can I pray for that person? How can I see that pain and make a response that has meaning? How can I reach out? You know, and one of the most important things we can do to help people and bring healing is to pray for them. Maybe God's put on your heart people that you need to pray for. And you're thinking, yeah, but you know, nothing's happening. I remember trying to ditch one of my prayer lists because I thought, I've had enough of praying for these people. They don't deserve it. They're not responding. I remember the Holy Spirit saying, you're the only person in the world praying for them. That's a responsibility. We need to pray for people. We need to be ready to realize that our neighbors are the people that God brings to our pathway. That pathway may be on social media. That pathway may be through our, you know, people that we connect with at coffee shops. That pathway may be, you know, remember when we actually went to weddings and events? The pathway of people that God connects us with for a reason. How are we going to find out what their need is and help meet it? There was a guy called Philip who's kind of a great example of an evangelist. This is a guy who was preaching to crowds and caring about the many and able to tell firsthand some of his experiences that he'd seen with Jesus and to teach the teachings of Jesus. It's wonderful to have a crowd. We love that there's 584,000 people that have done Alpha. Nearly 30 million people have taken the Alpha journey to bring their questions. But it only gets as important as each one. Each person matters. You know, in the first week of Alpha, we often go around and say, if God existed, what question would you ask? And it's fascinating to hear people's questions. We don't aim to answer all the questions because I've been following Jesus for decades and I have unanswered questions. So it's a place to bring your questions. It's a place for people to listen. And you'll hear things like, why does God allow suffering? Why is there a pandemic? Really great questions. But I remember one that stood out to me. If God exists, why do 7-year-old boys who've never done anything wrong die? Not a random question. Not a one-size-fits-all question. A question where you need a safe place to have a community that cares, to have a community that comes alongside, to have a community that prays, that we're not giving just trite answers. We're experiencing people's pain. We're coming alongside, and as Jesus was, we're moved with compassion. So Philip was in the crowd and the angel came to him and said in Acts 8:26, if you want to check it out, which you should, the angel said to Philip, at noon today, I love that God gives the time. I want you to walk over to that desolate road that goes from Jerusalem down to Gaza. You know, as we follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit puts these promptings in our mind and heart. And here's how I know it's God. He often prompts me with things I would never think about myself. I remember once, and I've been on this journey a while, so now when I hear the prompting of God, I write it down, I think about it, compare it to the scriptures, is it right? But I felt this prompting, you should get involved with prisoners in Nigeria. That was not my own thought. I'd never been to Nigeria, never been to Africa, had studied law, no plans to be a prisoner. So on every level, I was the wrong person. But you know, the Holy Spirit just asks you these things. And our responsibility is to think about them and respond. Is this God? You know, is this according to the word? But to have that openness, to be willing to respond. It's a long story which I can't tell you all of, but I've basically been 18 times to Nigeria. I love that nation. I've, you know, God connected me with a prison chaplain from there who's never traveled anywhere. He wants to come to Austria one day to see me. That's kind of how his geography works. And yet we've been able to partner together to see hundreds and hundreds of people trained to be pastors in prison. Hundreds and hundreds of people have the opportunity to come to faith. You know, one of the most stirring sermons for me personally is preaching in a prison to condemned men. And Bayside has experience of that. Where you're talking to people and, you know, you shake their hand because you know the reality of absent from here, present with God. You know the reality of an eternal destiny. You know, in Australia at the moment, everybody's gurgling, where do I go when I die? What happens? Does this work? We have the opportunity to have assurance of faith and of reunion. And I remember going to those places and saying, God loves you enough to bring a woman from Austria or Australia, you can call me whatever you want, to let you know that you're not forgotten, that you matter, that your name is tattooed on the palm of his hand, that God loves you and cares about you. I hope it helped one of those prisoners, but it was the greatest privilege of my life to be there and to go on that journey. You see, God wants to prompt us to do things that are beyond the ordinary, to prompt us to take us alongside people who are in need. So he says, I want you to go to that road. So he did. And along the way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch coming along the road. Now, he's got a choice. He can get up in that chariot and say, hey, listen, I'm Philip and I'm sent from God. And let me tell you everything I know. But he was just told to go down to that road. And so he just walked alongside, listening to what was happening in the chariot. Do you know God is at work in people's lives? Prayer influences people. The Holy Spirit is whispering to people. They see a beautiful sunrise. They see the chaos of our world and say, surely there's a God. We have all sorts of ways that God is at work in people's lives. Someone gives them a Bible. Someone gives them a book. They read it. They watch a movie. You know, it says it used to take 8 to 10 connections for an Australian to come to faith. Now it's 12 plus. So every time they connect with someone of faith, every time they see a movie that has a meaningful purpose to it, every time they read a book that you've given or check out a podcast or you know, watched a YouTube video or whatever it is, they are moving around the clock face of faith. And we don't know what point they're at. We listen and cooperate with our bit of the clock face. And we trust God for his bit. Through Alpha, I don't make anyone come to faith. We just provide them with the opportunity to find out more and to explore faith. So he's walking alongside, and it happens that this Ethiopian is reading part of the Bible, and he happens to ask a question about it. And he goes, who is this prophet talking about, himself or some other? Now remember, they're the only people on the road. So it's not quite a random question. It's a random question now because Philip is there and it's directed to Philip. 49% of Australians never get to have a spiritual conversation. There's no one discussing their questions. Our private surveys say that 70% of Australians, when questioned, say they pray. So think about your university, your street, your coffee shop. Think about the shopping centre. 7 out of 10 people say they pray. But they don't get to talk about it. They don't get to find out more what prayer is. They don't get to find out how they could probably access prayer in a different way. That's what Alpha's about. Who is Jesus? Why did he die? What is prayer? What is the Bible? Let's just have those conversations and help people in their journey. We're there to serve their journey. So ask this question, and here's what you do. Philip grabbed his chance. I pray every day, God, if you give me an opportunity to talk about you, I will. But then I have to be ready to talk about him. I have to be ready to seize that opportunity. I told this story a bit because it stands out in my memory that I was involved in fairly selfish behaviour. I saw a shoe shop that had 70% off, you know, Some of you don't know what shops are, Google it. And we were there in this shop and I was trying to decide whether I should buy these sandals or these boots, and I took them up to the counter and I was the only person in the shop, and I said to the lady at the counter to give myself more time, "So are you okay? How's things?" And she replied, "I think that all I was thinking about was sandals or boots, sandals or boots." It became obvious by the tone of her conversation that she hadn't had such a great day, and she'd probably shared with me something that was meaningful, and I, to my shame, hadn't listened. But once she finished, I said, "Look, I believe in God." Now, I say that to a lot of people. I've never had anyone say, "Me too." They normally say nothing because they're shocked. "I believe in God. Would you like me to pray for you?" And again, I've asked hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of, probably thousands of people that, you know, in supermarket queues or shopping centres or planes or wherever it is. I've only ever had one person say no, and that was at an alpha gathering, and it's okay to say no. But everywhere else, people say yes because they presume I'll go away and pray. They'd be wrong because I forget. So I just prayed with her right there. I leant across the counter, put my hand on her arm. It was pre-COVID. But it was that concept of reaching out and touching people with compassion, because the presence of God in my life is, I'm so used to it, but other people haven't acknowledged or experienced that before. I just prayed. I leave my eyes open in case security comes. I said, "Dear God," because most people are happy with God. "Dear God, just pray for this." She had a name badge on. I hope it was right. "Pray for her today." I can't remember the rest of the prayer. "I just pray you'll give her peace and comfort and strength." It would be something like that. And then I always say, "In Jesus' name," because I like to upgrade people from God, because there's power in the name of Jesus. If you've been praying to God today, start praying to Jesus. I just watch the upgrade. "In Jesus' name." And then I said, "Amen," because, you know, many of us know amen's the end. Now, I've prayed those really, really simple prayers everywhere, and there's never been a time when I don't and they don't, there's some evidence somewhere of a encounter with God. Sometimes someone's crying, someone's like, "Ooh, ooh, ooh," but as if there's an awkwardness, but there's an encounter with the living God. And then we'd be glad to know I bought the boots and left. Now, many of you would say, "Why didn't you lead her to Jesus, baptize her under the hose?" Great, leaving it for you. I'm a link in the chain. I'm doing my bit to cooperate. I might invite someone to Alpha and they say no. That's fine. We do it again. I'll invite you next time. I've moved them around the clock face. So he came along this side, this Ethiopian, and he sees the opportunity. What do we need to do in this season as we move forward in our faith? We need to say, what would Jesus do? How does he want us to live? Who is our neighbour? Who are the people that he are bringing us in proximity with? Oh, but here's the tricky one. Where is my Ethiopian? Who are the people specifically that God is positioning me next to? It might be someone in a shoe store. It might be someone at a coffee shop. You might sit next to them on a plane or whatever it is. Where is my Ethiopian? Who are the people that I need to walk alongside and listen to and answer the questions they're asking? When I invite someone to Alpha, you know, I try and do two things. Would you like to come to Alpha? And then shut up. Number two is much harder for me. Because when I say, would you like to come to Alpha, I'm waiting to see where in the journey they are. What is God talking to them about? I used to say, would you like to come to Alpha? You don't have to. It's a series of gatherings. We have food. We watch something. We chat about it. Every question is welcome. We love it when there's an atheist and an agnostic and a Christian and a Buddhist and a Hindu. We love the discussion. It's the bit of the gospel everybody agrees on, from Catholics to Pentecostals. How amazing is that? It's the kerygma. So we come, you only have to come 1 week at a time. It's amazing. I can pick you up if you want to. By the end of that, they're exhausted and so am I. Because I'm giving them information they may not want. Would you like to come to Alpha? And then shut up. We are coming alongside people's journey and seeking to serve them and then listening and grabbing the opportunity. If they say, actually, yes, I would. Okay, great. Shall I pick you up and we'll go together? Let's watch online, but let's do, you know, pre-Alpha drinks before it comes on. Or, you know, you grab the opportunity to do it with them. Perhaps they say, I'm not quite ready. No problem. We'll do it another time. Or, oh, I've just got so many questions. Hey, why don't I send you a link to one of the talks and you can have a watch at home and see what you think. We seize the opportunity to connect where they are and to take them a step further in their journey. As we think about the future as a community, the future is going to look like taking our phone. The future is going to look like, how can we text invitations? How can we use our social media to pray and then to go the next step? How can we put things out there that help people connect with God? How can we as a community help each other? If I've got raised something today that you want to talk about, you can go in the chat room and people will talk to you. But I want to ask you today, you know, one of the things we say in this journey of faith is that Jesus is often knocking at the door of our heart. I can say that Jesus lives with me because I've invited him into my life. But for some of us, he's knocking. Have you invited him in or is he knocking? If he's knocking, there's a handle only on the inside of that door. And you have to decide if or when you would like to invite him in. I'm going to pray a prayer in the moment. If you would like to invite Jesus into your life today, you can join in this prayer. You may not be ready to invite him in yet. That's fine. I'm giving you the opportunity when you're ready to ask him to come in. Dear Jesus, thank you for knocking at the door of my heart. I want to open that door and invite you in. Would you come into my life? Would you forgive my sin? Would you help me to follow you and to live life your way? Would you show me the incredible plans that you have for my life? I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you did open that door today, there would be someone that would love to get in contact with you so you can have a chat about it. So put your name in the chat room and just someone will contact you. Like Philip and the Ethiopian, we're in this together. We're talking about the questions. Perhaps today you're in a situation where people have come to your mind that you know have got lots of questions and need to relate. I want to invite you to take your phone in your hand. Remember I said to get it. And we're going to pray over our phones today. A bit weird, but it's okay. No one can see you. We're going to pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you prompt us with the names of people and the ways that we can connect with people to help them on their journey, whether it's text or on social media or things that we post or actual phone call with a real phone or through person, through reaching out. We just pray that you will help us connect in ways that are beyond what we can imagine. Would you show us who we might invite to Alpha and if they're ready, that they will respond, but either way, that we will be able to help them on their journey. We just pray it in Jesus' name.